Open your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 18. Again, we're thankful for the opportunity to gather here together with you all this morning. Luke chapter 18, verse 10. Here we read, two men went up into the temple to pray. The one, a Pharisee, and the other, a publican. Now, throughout the scriptures, we often read of two men. Nathan used the story of two men to reveal David's sin to him. If y'all remember that. Remember that he said there were two men in the city. He told David this. He said one was rich and the other was poor. And he said that rich man had exceeding flocks. The hillside, all the sheep he had, you couldn't count. They just covered the hillside. That poor man, he had one little lamb, one little ewe lamb, and he said he brought it up in his house like it was one of his own. Sat there in the kitchen when they were eating dinner. It was like a daughter. It was like a daughter to him. And there was a man came to town. And that rich man kept him in his house. And he said, instead of taking from his flock, the wealth of his flock, he went to that poor man's house and he took that one little lamb and he made a meal of it for his guest. And when David heard that, David was furious. Y'all remember that? He was just furious. And he said, the man that hath done this shall surely die. He said that in his rage and in his anger. Can you imagine his soul when Nathan turned to him and he said, David, you're the man. You're the man. He used the story of two men to reveal David's sin. And throughout the scriptures, we read there's a reference to two men. And that's what I'd like for us to look at here just for a little bit this morning as we've gathered here together. Back in the book of Genesis, we read of Cain and Abel. Turn there to Genesis chapter 4 with me. Genesis chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. It says, Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? Why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and he slew him. Consider that. Consider what we know about these two men, Cain and Abel. Cain brought the fruit of the ground. He'd gone out, he'd plowed, he'd planted, he'd watered, he'd weeded, he'd harvested, and he brought forth the works of his hand. It's been said that all religion can be traced back to this. One man comes with the works of his hand, and the other, Abel, what do we read he brought? He brought of the firstling of his flock and the offering thereof. An offering of faith. An offering that pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lamb. Like that Passover lamb of old, that innocent lamb sacrificed for the guilty. The firstling of the flock. Not the old lamb out there that's about to die anyhow. No, that's the one we'd bring, isn't it? Huh? No, this was the choice lamb. Huh? The firstling of the flock. That one without spot and without blemish. Can that be any other than the Lord Jesus Christ? Huh? The sinless Savior. It says he brought the fat thereof. That lamb was slain. The blood shed. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he was slain. The wages of it's demanded. The wages of sin is death. Christ suffered and shed his own blood for the sins of his people. Abel brought an offering confessing his sins and owning he was worthy of death. Our sin. My sin. That's my sin deserves the wrath of Almighty God. But the Lord Jesus Christ died as a substitute in the place of his people to make satisfaction before the law and justice of Almighty God. Abel brought a blood sacrifice. Look at the last few words in Genesis 4, verse 4. It says, "And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering, but unto Cain and his offering he had no respect." Abel's offering, redemption. It pointed to redemption through a blood sacrifice. Two men. On in the scripture, there was Ishmael and Isaac. God told Abram in Genesis 15, he said, "Don't be afraid, Abram." He said, "I am thy exceeding and great reward." God took Abram. He said, "Look now toward the heavens." He said, "Tell the stars, count the stars." And he said, "If you're able to number them," he said, "your seed's going to be like the stars of heaven." But Abram's wife bore no children. How can that promise be fulfilled when his wife bare no children? And in time, Abram and Sarah, they grew impatient rather than wait on the Lord, rather than wait on his promise. And Sarah said, "Here, take my servant Hagar. You have a child with her. And she bore Ishmael. That child, Ishmael, the child of the flesh. But in time, God's promise, Abraham and Sarah would bear Isaac. Turn to Genesis chapter 21. Look at verse 1. And the Lord visited Sarah. Look at this. As he had said. And the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bore Abram a son in his old age. Listen. At the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. It may not be in our time, but what God purposes to do, what God promises to do, he does it. You see that? God fulfilled his promise. What he had, listen, it says here, as he had said, as he had spoken, at the time at which he had promised. He's not dependent upon man. Huh? He's going to accomplish his will. He's going to accomplish his purpose. He brings to pass what he said he would do. Paul, writing to the Galatians, he said this. He said, "We, brethren, as Isaac, are the children of promise." Huh? Two men. Jacob and Esau. Turn with me to Romans chapter 9. Do you have Romans 9? Look, beginning with verse 9 of Romans 9. "For this is the word of promise. At this time I will come, and Sarah will have a son." And only this, "but when Rebekah also had conceived, even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For when he saith to Moses, I'll have mercy on whom I'll have mercy, and I'll have compassion on whom I'll have compassion, so then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated." Now listen, men try to remove the offense of this. They try to remove the truth of it. They try to say that it means that he loved him less. The scriptures, God's word, what we read right here, what does it declare? It says, "Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated." God loved Jacob. He did not love Esau. God chose Jacob. He didn't choose Esau. God blessed Jacob, not Esau. God's mercy followed Jacob all his life, even to the end. But not Esau. Esau was left in his sin. "Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated." You know what's truly amazing about that statement? What's truly amazing? It's not that God would hate Esau. Huh? It's this, that God would love Jacob. Listen, Jacob's very name means supplanter. It means thief. He deceived his father. He stole his brother's birthright. And yet we read this. for the children being not yet born, having done neither good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. Jacob was an object of God's mercy before he was born. Huh? Before that's what the scripture said, huh? Before they'd done any good or evil. Chosen according to the purpose of Almighty God. By God's mercy. By God's sovereign will. Jacob, like all of God's sheep, chosen in Christ from before the foundation of the world. Two men. Cain and Abel. Here we learn of the redemption through that blood sacrifice. Huh? The scriptures declare without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Two men, Isaac and Ishmael. God's promise fulfilled. God's purpose accomplished. Two men, Jacob and Esau. Jacob have I loved. Esau have I hated. God's election. Huh? He'll be gracious to whom he'll be gracious, and he'll have mercy on whom he will have mercy. Two men. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 27. Look at verse 16 of Matthew 27. They had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Now this Barabbas, he was an infamous man. A man who had been placed in prison. A thief, a robber, guilty of sedition. He'd started an insurrection, a violent attempt to overthrow the government. And he'd murdered a man during this uprising. Look at verse 17 of Matthew 27. Pilate said unto them, unto them, whom will you that I release unto you? One of these two men. Which one would you have me release unto you? Barabbas or Jesus, which is called the Christ? The scriptures say, call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. Jesus Christ. Call his name Emmanuel. God with us. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. God in human flesh. A man who was tempted in all points, as we, yet without sin. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God by miracles and wonders and signs. Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. He went about healing the sick, giving sight to the blind, raising the dead. He of whom John the Baptist said, there cometh one mightier than me, the latchet of his shoes, whom I'm not worthy to unloose. Jesus Christ, who when his disciples, in John 18, when Judas betrayed him, Judas received a band of men and the officers from the chief priests and the Pharisees, and they came with their lanterns and their torches and their swords. And Jesus, knowing all things that would come to pass, he went forth and he said to them, whom seek ye? And they answered, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus said to them, he said, I'm he. I am he. And Judas, which betrayed him, he stood there with him. And when he said, I am he spoke in power. He spoke like no other man ever spoke. He spoke in power. And when he said that, they went backward. And they fell to the ground. And he asked him again. He said, whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And he uttered these words. He said, I've told you I'm he. Now, if you seek me, let these go. Let these of my people go. Two men. Jesus Christ and Barabbas. Huh? Do you still have your Bible open to Matthew 27? Look at verse 21. The governor answered and said, whether the twain, huh? Which of these two men will you I release to you? And what'd they say? Huh? Barabbas. Could anything speak more of our depravity? Huh? Of our fallen nature? Huh? Let me ask you this. Would you have your free will? They said, give us, not the Lord Jesus Christ, give us Barabbas. And Pilate said, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called the Christ? And look what it says here. They all said unto him, all of them. There wasn't a one that spoke out. They all said, let him be crucified. And had we been there, we'd have raised our hands higher than anyone else shouting the same. Let him be crucified. And the governor, listen, he said, why? Why? What evil hath he done? Maybe you could reason with man. Huh? Maybe we could just reason with man. No. They cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. And look at verse 25. Let his blood be upon us and our children. That's every last one of us left to ourselves. That's what all the people said. Give us Barabbas. What shall we do with Jesus? Let him be crucified. All of them. All the voice of all the people. Yet it was by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. But Peter said this. He said, by your wicked hands, by your wicked hearts, you have crucified him. You killed him. All of you. Huh? Is it any wonder? Is it any wonder that the scriptures declare that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God? The scriptures declare that we are all going out of the way. Huh? Together. We're all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. In Romans 5:12 we read, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So what's our hope? Huh? Knowing something of my wickedness, something of my depravity, something of my sin. And I say just something of it, because my friends, we couldn't bear to see the whole of it. What's my hope? Look, do you still have Matthew 27? Look at verse 38. Here we read there were two thieves, two thieves crucified with him, one on the right and another on the left. Now the Lord Jesus Christ hung on the cross between these two thieves. The Lord Jesus Christ, whom God the Father made to be sin for us, made to be sin for his people. Why did he do that? Huh? That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's what Scripture declares, huh? That we might be made the very righteousness of God in him. In Christ. And these two thieves, they railed on him. That's what we read. They railed on him. And they, listen, what did they say? They said what everybody else said that was gathered together that day. Huh? They questioned who he was. Listen, what happened there is the same thing that happens in our day. Men question who he is. Huh? They said this. They said, if thou be the Christ, if thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. They questioned his power. Huh? They questioned that he was God. They said this. They said, he saved others. Himself, he cannot save. They said he trusted in God. Let him deliver him now if he'll have him. For he said, I'm the Son of God. That's what these two men said. Look at verse 44. These thieves also, which were crucified with him, they cast the same in his teeth. That means they said the same thing. Huh? But my friend, something happened. Something happened for one of those thieves. There was a work done, a mighty work done. How could there be hope? How could there be hope for a man that would say those things about Almighty God? In the midst of all this that's going on, Almighty God, in sovereign mercy, reached down. He reached down. We read of a firebrand plucked out of the burning. David said this. He said, he brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of a miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock, and he established my goings. In Luke's account, it says that while one of the malefactors continued to rail on our Lord, something happened. Huh? The other rebuked him. Huh? He said this. He said, don't you fear God? Don't you see that you're listen, we're in the same condemnation here. We're sinners. Huh? And we indeed justly. He said, we're getting what we deserve, but this man, he's done nothing amiss. He's done nothing wrong. We receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. How is it that this man now sees something of his sin, something of his unworthiness, something of the truth that God is just to condemn me? Huh? And he cries out for mercy to the only one who can give it. Huh? He sees something of Christ's sovereignty, something of his majesty. And he says this, Lord, Master, remember me. Remember me. He said, when you come into your kingdom, remember me. The Scriptures declare, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Huh? Our Lord says, he said to this thief, to this sinner, he said, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. You know, both of these thieves are going to die. Huh? It's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. But listen, one's going to die in his sin, and one is going to die in the Lord Jesus Christ. Huh? One's going to die with a good hope, a sure hope. Huh? This promise. Consider this promise. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Isn't that good news? Huh? I tell you who it's... It didn't mean anything. It didn't mean anything to that other thief. But the one he was talking to, it meant everything. It meant everything to him. This message of God's mercy, some can do with or without it. But my friends, his sheep, to a sinner, this is I must hear it. I must hear what he has to say. The man to whom the Lord will show mercy. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. The dying thief. Isn't that a hymn? The dying thief rejoiced to see this fountain in his day. And there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sin away. Turn with me to one more scripture. Look at Luke chapter 18. Back to Luke 18, verse 10. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. They went to the worship service. They were both in the temple. Now our Lord, he told this parable. These are his words. And he, the reason he told it was to certain which trusted in themselves. That's us by nature. Isn't that what buildings and airways are flooded with in our day, just like it was back then? Men are encouraged to trust in themselves. They're told that pretty much the work of salvation is theirs. Make a decision. Do this. God wants you to, but he can't. Two thieves went up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee. That Pharisee, listen, he was seeking acceptance with God based on his good deeds, based on his long prayer, his religious activity, his giving, his pride, his self-righteousness. Doing these works to be seen of men. The Pharisee stood and he prayed thus within himself, God, I thank thee. I thank thee that I'm not like other men. I'm not an extortioner. I'm not an unjust. I'm not an adulterer. Or even as this publican. All this outward stuff. And listen, don't you know everyone, what he was talking about here, don't you know everyone knew it? When that Pharisee, when he was fasting, don't you know everybody, his face was probably drooped down long and, oh, I'm starving to death, but oh, I'm fasting. I'm doing this. I fast twice a week. I'm not going to have this, but it's only because I'm giving tithes to the poor. I'm doing this or I'm doing that. Our Lord in Matthew 23, he said, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees. He said, you're hypocrites. He said, you pay tithes of mint and anise and cumin, but you've omitted the weightier things of the law. Judgment, mercy, faith that you ought to have done. Two men, a Pharisee and a publican. Look at verse 13. But this publican, standing afar off, he would not so much as lift his eyes to heaven, but he smote upon his breast. Isn't that right there at the heart? That's the source of the problem, isn't it? This old, wicked, corrupt, sinful, dead heart. Jeremiah wrote, the heart is deceitful above all things. It's desperately wicked. Who can know it? this publican in his humiliation and in his shame and in his sin. He cried out. He said, God. God against whom I have sinned. God who can look upon this heart. God in whom there is forgiveness and mercy. God who alone can forgive my sin in Christ. God, be merciful. Be merciful. Be gracious. Be propitious. Listen, mercy through the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn to Psalm 51. Psalm 51. We're almost finished here. Psalm 51. Look, beginning with verse 1. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before thee. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and clear when thou judgest. God, be merciful to me, a sinner, the sinner. David, in Psalm 25:11, he said, for thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. Luke 18:14, our Lord speaking of these two men, he says of this publican, of this sinful publican, this publican that cried out to the Lord for mercy, he said, this man went down to his house justified, pardoned from sin, sin put away. The scriptures declare this, that publicans, is it any wonder that publicans and sinners came to him, came to the Lord Jesus Christ? This publican went down to his house justified, righteous, declared righteous by the Son of God himself. Our Lord ate with publicans and sinners. Huh? That self-righteous Pharisee, he said, I thank you that I'm not like this publican and sinner. Two men. This publican, this man, he went down to his house justified. Aren't we thankful? Aren't we thankful that the Lord Jesus Christ is the friend of publicans and sinners? Aren't we thankful that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners? Huh? Two men. One trusted in himself. The other took his place as a sinner. And he cried out for mercy. Oh, that he would listen. Deliver us from self-righteousness. Deliver us from the things of this world. Isaiah 55 verse 7 says, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord. And he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Two men. Isn't that our hope? Isn't that our rest? The Lord Jesus Christ. Christ and Christ alone. All right. Well, again, we're thankful for the opportunity to be here with you this morning. Pray the Lord would return your pastor home safely to you. I know you desire to have him back with you. But I do pray God would bless his word as we've gathered here this morning.